Now, from the KSFR newsroom, At Noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Friday, November 8th.
Santa Fe Mayor David Koss is calling on the New Mexico Environment Department to disallow the creation of a permanent nuclear waste dump at Los Alamos National Laboratory. Koss, who's chairman of the Regional Coalition of LANL Communities, is also urging the lab to properly dispose of its nuclear waste. Los Alamos's proposed remedial plan allegedly leaves nuclear waste at the laboratory's Area G, a 63-acre site that started accepting radioactive and hazardous wastes back in 1957. The area is less than 20 miles from the Santa Fe Plaza and 5 miles from the Buckman Well Field near the Rio Grande, which is the drinking water resource for thousands. The so-called Nation's Report Card is out, and it shows that New Mexico's 4th and 8th graders trail national proficiencies in both reading and math. The newly released National Assessment of Educational Progress report shows just 31% of our state's 4th graders are proficient in math, and only 21% are reading at target levels. For 8th graders, 23% are proficient in math and 22% are proficient in reading. Those results have New Mexico among 18 states, scoring below national averages for both reading and math. New Mexico's largest electric cooperative is being billed more than $38 million to cover costs stemming from the Las Conchas fire. The bill to the Jemez Mountains Electric Cooperative comes from the U.S. Forest Service, which the New Mexican reports is seeking reimbursement for costs relating to firefighting efforts to the fire, one of the largest in state history. The utility has already been targeted by numerous others over the blaze that sparked in June 2011 when a tree fell on a power line owned by the co-op. More than 60 structures were destroyed and 243 square miles were charred. The New Mexico tourism industry is reporting a successful 2012 tourism season. The State Tourism Department's Jolene Maurer says all of the industry's numbers rose last year as opposed to 2011, including an overall increase in visitors to the state. Maurer says this translates to jobs for New Mexicans. She adds that tourism is New Mexico's second largest industry, behind only the state's oil and gas trade. We'll have more details on the tourism industry's rise during the feature segment of At Noon coming up shortly. Former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson, now a Libertarian, has joined forces with Democratic Congresswoman Michelle Lujan Grisham in a campaign supporting same-sex marriage. The New Mexico Unites for Marriage effort drew both to Albuquerque Thursday to launch the effort. Johnson telling KSFR his thoughts on the issue that's now before the state Supreme Court.
I think it's a federal issue. I think that it's a constitutionally guaranteed right. But that aside, it's one of awareness. It's what's right. And we're going to see it happen.
Johnson says state initiatives on same-sex marriage that have occurred in New Mexico and other states will bring the issue to bear as the federal issue he maintains it is. U.S. Senators Tom Udall and Martin Heinrich appear today at UNM in Albuquerque to lend their support to a program that would foster greater collaboration among New Mexico's research universities, national laboratories, and military bases. Such a partnership is seen as a vital factor in energizing the state's economy by way of the research and technology sector. New Mexico's state colleges and universities have agreed to a common nursing curriculum to make it easier for students to complete their degrees. Governor Susana Martinez and leaders of the New Mexico Nursing Education Consortium will formally present the program at an afternoon event at Eastern New Mexico University in Portales. The governor's office says the use of a common curriculum will make it easier and less expensive for students to transfer from one school to another. It would also allow nursing students at colleges in rural areas to be able to earn bachelor's degrees without having to leave their communities. NBC Universal announced today it'll televise the inaugural flight of Virgin Galactic's Spaceship Two next year, live from New Mexico's Spaceport America. A specific date has not yet been given. Sir Richard Branson, founder of Virgin Galactic, will be joined by his two adult children as the first private passengers to travel into space. The launch will be the subject of a three-hour live event presented by NBC's Today Show. A reminder, Veterans Day is Monday. City, county, state, and federal offices will all be closed. Santa Fe Trails buses and the Rail Runner will operate on a Saturday schedule. North Central Regional Blue buses will not run at all. Weather for Santa Fe, sunny and dry today and into the weekend and beyond. Highs today in the mid-50s, warm to the low 60s for both Saturday and Sunday. Overnight lows will be in the low 30s. No precipitation is expected until the middle of next week. I'm Tom Tropridge, KSFR News.
Thank you, Tom. And taking a look briefly at some business news at midday, investors on Wall Street seem to be ending the week in an upbeat mood. All the major indices well into positive territory at this hour. The Dow currently up 96 points at 15,689. The Nasdaq is up 55 at 3,912. And the S&P 500 is up 17. It stands at 1,764. At noon on KSFR, we'll continue in just a moment.
The Lenzic proudly presents Ballet Folclórico da Bahia, the electrifying dance company from Brazil, on Wednesday, November 13th at 7. It's a celebration of Afro-Brazilian culture with more than three dozen dancers, singers, and musicians performing samba, capoeira, carnival dances, and more. For tickets to see Ballet Folclórico da Bahia on November 13th, call 988-1234 or visit ticketsantafe.org. The Lenzic is a nonprofit, member-supported organization.
11 minutes past the hour as At Noon now segues to today's feature stories. At Thursday's monthly meeting of the Regional Coalition of Los Alamos National Laboratory Communities, Santa Fe Mayor David Koss, the chairman of that body, urged LANL to fully analyze and properly dispose of its nuclear waste at the lab's Area G in Technical Area 54. That site is a legacy repository for waste from decades ago, as the lab performed research and development of nuclear weapons technology. Cleanup of the site is a matter long under discussion. LANL has submitted a plan to the New Mexico Environment Department that would leave waste buried in pits and trenches. Mayor Koss is instead asking that the hazardous materials be excavated and removed for off-site disposal. He has introduced a resolution for that course of action to head to Santa Fe City Hall. The mayor joins us now by phone. Mayor Koss, give us an overview of the current discussion.
Sure. You know, we've been meeting as a coalition of local governments for several years now, and one of our biggest issues has been the cleanup. And, you know, I'm really pleased to say that I think LANL and DOE have made some great progress. They got a lot more work to do, but you know, in terms of handling stormwater and runoff, they're doing good work. We want to see that continue to be funded. In terms of moving the above ground true waste down to WIP, that's going to be concluded in the near future. So we're very proud of that. You know, getting that all shipped off the mountain, and we've lobbied hard and worked hard with our senators and congressmen to make sure the funding for that continues through these, you know, government shutdowns and sequesters and all these problems. But in the public testimony that we've had over the years, you know, this Area G, which contains potentially significant amounts of hazardous and nuclear waste from the, you know, from the Manhattan Project, we all refer to it as legacy waste. I think it's been real clear from the citizens following these issues that we, rather than capping and covering this, we'd rather see those wastes removed. And they've done that in some small sites. This is obviously a larger site. But I think it's important to the communities around Los Alamos that waste be removed so it's not an issue for us going into the future.
And of LANL's preferred plan of leaving the materials buried on site, does that stem from the funding that would be needed from the Department of Energy, as well as the more difficult feat of safe excavation?
Well, I think it has to do with all of those. It's obviously going to be much more expensive for the federal government to remove it and dispose of it safely than to leave it there. And so how you characterize it, how you handle it, where you dispose of it, those are all significant issues. you know, as with many things, it's a legacy that we all share from the arms race and the nuclear weapons program. But you know, I've been on this coalition for several years, and every time we've had public testimony, whether it's Los Alamos, Santa Fe, Española, Taos, the citizens say, you know, they don't want it to be capped and covered and hope it doesn't become a problem for future generations. They'd like to see the site cleaned to a safe level.
And you're a strong proponent that the site be fully remediated, given the fact that it lies so close to the Rio Grande, now a drinking water source for more than 250,000 people.
Sure. No, that aquifer is significant to, you know, a couple hundred thousand people. And, you know, we've been able to ally ourselves with other communities that are, you know, the hosts and homes of nuclear facilities in the complex. And, you know, it's an issue for many communities, protecting their water. So, you know, I think it's a statement that I'm hearing from the communities, and we're all local governments that represent those communities. So we wanted to put that out, and so that when we tell LANL and DOE and the Environment Department what we expect up on the Hill, we know that the local governments have looked at this question. That's why I put the resolution out there.
And the timeline now for the resolution you want City Hall to consider for endorsing full remediation efforts?
Well, you know, I just handed it out yesterday, so I would hope to introduce it at the City Council. I would hope the other representatives of local governments will take it back to their governing bodies. So I would hope in December and January we're coming to a position on this.
Santa Fe Mayor David Koss, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR, which will continue in just a moment.
Programming is underwritten in part by the New Mexico Land Conservancy, a nonprofit celebrating 11 years working with New Mexico landowners to preserve our land heritage by conserving the places they love. This year's Jane Wing Pachesky Conservation Award will be given to fourth-generation rancher Jim Winder at an upscale Western gala featuring Sid Masters and the Swing Riders and locally sourced food at the Farmers Market Pavilion on November 8th. To learn more, visit nmlandconservancy.org.
16 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. Former New Mexico Republican Governor Gary Johnson, now a Libertarian, has joined forces with Democratic Congresswoman Michelle Lujan Grisham and others in a campaign supporting same-sex marriage. Rejoining us now at the news desk is KSFR's Tom Trowbridge. And Tom, you spoke with both the Congresswoman and the former governor immediately following Thursday's event on Albuquerque's Civic Plaza launching this effort, correct?
That's right, Dan. I chatted with Governor Johnson first, and he told me that marriage, same-sex marriage in particular, is an important issue to him.
I think it's a federal issue. I think that it's a constitutionally guaranteed right, but that aside, it's one of awareness. It's what's right, and we're going to see it happen. Of course, the New Mexico Supreme Court will be ruling on this. I have to believe that will be favorable, but you know, as this goes forward, it is an awareness issue, and the more people are aware, the better this issue becomes, I think.
And Gary, the U.S. Senate just approved the ENDA legislation, and it's kind of timely that New Mexico Unites for Marriage gets launched on that same day.
Yeah, I think so, and of course, it doesn't look very favorable that measure will move forward at all in the House, which is too bad. But like I say, states' initiatives like New Mexico, and that it not just happen in New Mexico, but all across the country, this will bring this to bear as the federal issue that I think it is.
And Gary, is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know about New Mexico Unites for Marriage?
We've grown up showing prejudices that maybe we really didn't or weren't as understanding of as we should have been. And I speak for myself, something that I'm not really proud of. I never, ever spoke to someone I knew that was gay disparagingly. And yet I grew up and I said things in front of what turns out to be people that I loved, people that I respected, friends of mine, that were gay. And so I contributed to the discrimination, to the whole notion of gays being outcast, and I'm not proud of that in any way whatsoever. And becoming aware that I did have really good friends that were gay, and have really wonderful friends, loving friends that are gay, they deserve everything that this country has to offer, and that's freedom and equality and the ability to live their lives just like all of us should have the ability to live our lives as we see fit.
I spoke with Congresswoman Michelle Lujan Grisham after my chat with Governor Johnson and asked her about her thoughts and hopes for the New Mexico Unites for Marriage campaign.
This is an effort, really a campaign that's going to focus on awareness and education, not just for the general public, but also for policymakers. Because even if we win, which I'm expecting that we do, but no guarantees, that the Supreme Court makes a decision favoring same-sex marriages, that doesn't mean that the legislature and other policymakers can't try to reverse that to some degree or change the status quo. And that we want to make sure that we don't let that happen, because it's taken so long to get to a place of equality that I think having a campaign that's dedicated to that kind of work and awareness can really make the difference for a state like New Mexico. And I'm just glad to be a part of it.
And Michelle, tell us why this issue is important to you.
You know, I can do something I think probably different than everyone else. In the 80s, maybe early 90s, I was working in state government and was doing a whole lot with seniors and their families about decision-making in health care and having to execute a power of attorney and getting all that done. And we did this huge effort to get people to execute health care powers of attorney. At the time, there was a national format that made it easy so that you could have reciprocity, same standards were met for decision-making all across the country. But that national format specifically excluded decision-making by same-sex partners, which I thought was outrageous. So we ran a bill of our own, refused to do the uniform one, and we're very clear about describing partners and individuals with special relationships so that they could make those kinds of decisions. But guess what? Even though we have that power of attorney, even though that got passed by our legislature and signed into law, providers, when there's a family that doesn't recognize the partnership, there's no marriage to speak of, they often go to somebody other than the person who's standing really in the shoes to make that healthcare decision, the person that you live with, that you love, that you're committed to, who knows all of your joys, hopes, and fears. So this is a campaign for me that makes sure that whatever we do lasts, is protected, and we finally provide the same kind of benefits and assurances to same-sex couples that we do to everybody else.
And Michelle, tell us about the reaction today at Civic Plaza when the campaign was launched.
Yeah, there's a lot of people here, and I'm really encouraged by that. And I'm encouraged that even with the county clerks that did not provide licenses to same-sex couples, they unanimously agreed to have the Supreme Court make a decision. So Mexico is a very proactive state. We want the opportunity to treat each other with that kind of dignity, respect, and quality of life. And this is an opportunity for everyone who believes that to now stand up, whatever their role is, from the religious community, from an elected aspect, from a policymaker or a bureaucrat or a government worker, local, city, state, the GLTB community in large. So I love that this is a coalition of folks who have been fighting for equality, but who also are working together in a way that's hugely positive, because we feel like the right stuff is coming our way, and New Mexico really is going to defend making sure that discrimination is stamped out in our state forevermore.
New Mexico Congresswoman Michelle Lujan Grisham. For KSFR, I'm Tom Tropridge.
Celebrate recycling and art at the 15th Annual Recycle Santa Fe Art Festival, November 15th through 17th at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center. This green festival brings together artists who transform discarded materials into artistic wonders. The weekend opens with the Trash, Fashion, and Costume Contest and features an art market with juried exhibits. Learn more at recyclesantafe.org. Fashion show tickets at ticketsantafe.com. A message from Keep Santa Fe Beautiful.
24 minutes past the hour, as At Noon continues. With all their data now collected and analyzed, the New Mexico tourism industry is reporting a very successful 2012 tourism season. Tourism Department spokeswoman Jolene Maurer calls it an incredible year.
It was an incredible year. There were 32 million domestic overnight and day visitors to the state. And that's up 2.6% from 2011. Day trips were up 4.8%. And even more importantly, not only are more people coming to New Mexico, they're spending more money. The average per person spend was up almost 13% for day visits and 5% for night visits. And that brought direct tourism spend in this state to a record $5.9 billion, up from $5.5 billion.
Maurer says all of this translates to jobs for New Mexicans.
This summer, the leisure and hospitality jobs increased 5.5% over last summer. That's almost 5,000 jobs. So tourism has seen 12 consecutive quarters of job growth.
Maurer adds that tourism jobs are often underrated. She maintains the industry provides good jobs.
Some people say, oh, you know, you're in the tourist industry, you know, if you're a bellman at a hotel, but our research shows that, you know, sure, that's an entry-level position, but people in those kinds of positions often work their way up, you know, into tourism careers that pay really well. So they're good jobs.
As for the reasons for the industry's improved performance, Maurer credits several factors.
The economic recovery, you know, things are getting a little better, and that certainly helps. But no, definitely we think our New Mexico True advertising campaign, which is now pretty well established, has done a lot to change the perception of New Mexico to people who are thinking of traveling here.
Maurer says when New Mexico Tourism Secretary Monique Jacobson first took the job, she found that there were widespread misperceptions of all that New Mexico has to offer.
Because that was one of the hurdles that we faced. We did focus groups in the beginning when Monique came on board. And there was a perception that New Mexico was a desert and was barren and was dry. So the campaign has done a lot towards showing people that there's a whole lot more to New Mexico. We have snow, we have water, we have mountains.
Those misperceptions led to the New Mexico True advertising campaign that's designed to persuade tourists that New Mexico is an adventurous destination. Maurer explains the effort.
New Mexico True is a celebration of everything that makes New Mexico so amazing and unique, and it's very highly targeted to basically our drive and fly drive market. Mostly, you know, instead of trying to blanket the state, Monique's strategy has been to focus on our surrounding, our neighbor states, and hit them really hard. And the tagline to that is New Mexico adventure steeped in culture. And we think that that is really resonating with the target audience.
Maurer says Secretary Jacobson, in comments made Thursday to the Tourism Association of New Mexico, offered news about the New Mexico True campaign.
About 15 different communities across the state have adopted the New Mexico True branding. So that means that that leverages another $1.6 million against the True message without any added expense for the taxpayers. So that consistent New Mexico True message is going out not just from us, but from other communities around the state as well.
Tourism is New Mexico's second largest industry, only behind the state's oil and gas trade. And Maurer says the industry's future appears to be growing.
We had some key summer indicators that were great as well. Statewide lodging receipts were up 8.7% over 2012. Visits to our department websites more than doubled compared to last summer, so that just shows a big increase in interest in New Mexico. So the indicators from this summer, it looks like the things are just going to, you know, continue to get better.
The number of repeat visits to New Mexico is an area Maurer says doesn't compare as favorably as our neighboring states, noting that 37% of tourists who visit say they plan on coming back. That's compared to 47% elsewhere. Maurer says Secretary Jacobson challenged tourism industry leaders to develop ideas to improve that category.
Our thoughts are that people don't realize that there's so much to do in New Mexico. They come once and they think they've done everything. So the plan is to make sure the people who come visit are aware of all the stuff they didn't have time to do, and then they have to come back for another trip to do all that great stuff.
Jolene Maurer, Communications Manager at the New Mexico Tourism Department.
Support comes from Lannan Foundation, presenting a reading and conversation with Luis Alberto Urrea on Wednesday, November 20th at 7 p.m. at the Lenzic. Urrea's book, The Devil's Highway, tells the harrowing tale of a group of Mexican immigrants lost in the Arizona desert. His novels, The Hummingbird's Daughter and Queen of America, chronicle the life of healer Teresita Urrea, deemed the Mexican Joan of Arc. Tickets available at the Lenzic or TicketsSantaFe.com.
12:30 here in the KSFR newsroom. The bottom of the hour is, of course, the perfect opportunity to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
What do you think? How does this sound to you? I'm thinking of getting Lifestyle Lift. Sounded pretty good, didn't it? Christopher and Lifestyle Lift. Of course, as you probably know, Lifestyle Lift does not directly lift your lifestyle. It lifts your neck and face. Not away from your neck and face. Everything stays attached. It's like a facelift, because that's kind of what it is. And I guess after your face gets lifted, it's supposed to be logical that your lifestyle gets lifted. I have a friend who had a Lifestyle Lift. I'm not sure why she did. I mean, she was already a beautiful woman. But I guess as the years go by, we look back on what once was our face and see comparisons and imperfections that others don't. I'm glad my friend got a Lifestyle Lift only because it made her happy. The problem with me getting a Lifestyle Lift is that, yeah, my neck and face would be lifted higher, but I'd still look the same, and that wouldn't lift anyone's lifestyle. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Many thanks to my contributing colleague today, Tom Trowbridge. This is Dan Garrity at the news desk. If you tune in at this time tomorrow, you'll hear Weekend at Noon.